Hello, everyone. Welcome to Harmony Podcast, the podcast that explores the intricate connections between environment, lifestyle, and culture. And today, on another episode of Harmony Podcast, we shall be looking at data-driven decisions and sustainable lifestyle. And on the show today, I have a great personality who is a senior data scientist, and he goes by the name Joseph Oladokun. Welcome to the show, Joseph.
Yeah, thank you, Olalu. It's my pleasure to be here.
All right. Very quickly, let me talk about one or two things about Joseph. Joseph is an amazing data scientist who is a builder with a wide experience in product analytics, recommendation systems, location analytics, retail analytics, machine learning, and deep learning using mind-blowing technologies. As a data scientist, he creates analysis that helps stakeholders make business decisions, perform A/B testing on product, build recommendation systems to personalize the user's experience, optimize prices, and perform retail and location analytics at scale using different techniques, including machine and also deep learning. So, Joseph, welcome to the show once again.
Thank you, Olalu.
Okay, moving on, please, can you give us a bit of your background to date?
Okay, thank you. I'm Joseph Oladokun, as a data scientist. I have about more than 5 years of experience working with data. And then I started my career at EL Africa in Kano, where I was a data scientist. And then we did some work with the federal government and Ministry of Health to provide them with analytics to solve some public health issues around the countries, and also use resource allocation to health centers, primary health centers. And then when I left there, I joined CAS 45. When I was in CAS 45, I had a short stint there before I moved to AutoCheck Africa. I was one of the early employees at AutoCheck Africa. And then we worked on recommendation systems for to optimize your experience on the platform. And then we also worked on analytics, internal analytics for the company. And also we use ML for price optimization with AutoCheck Africa. So after there, I moved to Board Pandas in Lithuania. And then with Board Pandas, we did some content analysis there too. We also did a lot of predictions on the virality of digital content with them. Yeah. So and then moving on, I'm currently work with Helium Health Africa, and then I'm currently in the United States studying business analytics at Iowa State University.
Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. Great experience there, Joseph. Let me dive a bit into your bachelor's, because some of our listeners might be wondering if you did something related to computer science or computer engineering. Can you tell us in few seconds about your bachelor's?
Yeah, so I did my bachelor's in animal health and production at University of Technology, Accra. But I've always been someone that's interested in writing code. So right from 200 level, I've been learning how to code. I wanted to be a software engineer then, but then I was learning how to code, but I really didn't know what I'm going to use the coding for. Mm. I don't use it for back end, front end, or anything. I don't know what I'm just learning how to code.
Wow. Right.
Okay, so when I got to 500 level, then I had the opportunity to move into data science because of the possibilities that in that field, and also I was really interested in the prediction capabilities, like the skills that allows you to be able to see into the future, right? Without really being in the future. So that was what fascinates me. Like, okay, I should be able to combine some, if I have some skills together, put some numbers together, right?
Mm-hmm.
With some degree of certainty, I could tell what's going to happen tomorrow, right? So that fascinated me, and that's the reason why I started working with data.
Wow, that's amazing. I know a lot of people will be encouraged, and of course, you know, moving from one area, from one particular field, for you, moving from the agri field to data proper. All right, moving on to the topic of discussion today, and we are talking on data-driven decisions and sustainable lifestyle. So, Joseph, to kickstart, when we hear the word data, what comes to mind?
Yeah, so data, right, you know, I always say that the fundamentals of everything in in the world that we live in.
Yeah.
It all comes down to numbers, right? Everything, it all comes down to numbers. The fundamentals of everything, everything that is governing the universe is controlled by numbers, right? Wow. And when you bring these numbers together, you have information, you have data. And when you combine those data together, you have information. So on that level, you understand the importance of data in anything you are doing. So when I hear data, I see it as a foundational building and the blocks of knowledge, basically. So I see that something that that if you bring this, if you bring these things together, right, you have a block. It's capable of providing knowledge into something you do. You might say, data doesn't have to be numbers. It can be videos, it can be PDF files, it can be, you are right. But then if you look at the compilation of everything, so take pictures, for example. Pictures is a combination of pixels.
Yeah.
And then at the granular level, pixels are numbers.
Yeah.
Everything, whether it's video, audio, files, anything you can refer to as data, at the under the hood of everything is numbers. These are the numbers, and number is one that govern the operations of the universe.
Wow.
So they are the fundamentals of how everything works. So you have to and now bringing everything together, right? I see it as something that the block can provide a block of knowledge for anyone, which is why the that ignores data is ignoring progress.
Wow, anyone that ignores data is ignoring progress. Wow, I think that's a great one from you. Okay, I'm aware, of course, like you said, moving from one field to another, like a transition now, I can say categorically that you are aware about sustainable livelihood, or let me say sustainable lifestyle and choices. Let me ask you, Joseph, how does data guide individuals towards a more sustainable lifestyle choices?
Okay, so there is a saying that whatever it is you don't track, you can't improve. If you are trying to lose weight, right, and you are not currently checking your weight and going to the gym, you know, trying to look in at it, right, you can't lose weight. So because you have no insight into what's going on in your body, right? So now what's called data gives is it gives us that insight. It keeps us with knowledge, right? So for example, let's look at digital footprints in the concept of environmental sustainability.
Yes.
Let's look at carbon footprint. So let's say if I tell you that if you take a private jet from here to London, right? The total gas emissions, right, are going to emit is more than if I drive a car throughout the lifetime. You know, I just give you a data on information on your carbon footprint. It might be something you don't know before, right? And information now, right, now I'm gonna guide you, like, wow, it now gives you a concept of like, so this is what I'm actually doing. Now in the case, in next time, right, if you are someone that is environmentally conscious, next time maybe you, if you have a private day, maybe before, right, you just say, let me just take my private day from here to Ibadan. Let me just take train, or let me just take my car. You are already conscious. Now the reason why you are conscious is because I presented you with the data.
Yes.
Now that's where it comes in, like that data comes in and equips us to actually lead a better, to be environmentally conscious and guide us towards a sustainable lifestyle.
Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. Moving on, let me ask you, because I know you are highly experienced. Let me ask you, from your experience, what are the common human problems you think having data, and not just data now, quality data, can solve, and how?
Okay, from my experiences, right, I actually think there's nothing that data cannot improve. Anything that generates data, it can improve. It's, you know, like anything that if you can about something, you can improve that thing.
Yeah.
I've worked in the automotive industry, the health sector, and the digital content industry also. And currently, and also in fintech also, right? From my experience in all those places, right, whatever it is that generates data can actually be improved.
So
let's look at health, for example. You know, if I have data about your medical records, about your physical activities and everything, you know, we can predict We can predict what you need to do to improve your diagnosis. We can, you know, we can improve your diagnosis in case you have anything that is worrying you. That information already can go into the model that's able to serve you and make your health better. Same thing with fitness also. You know, if you are doing something wrong, but you have your fitness record, you'll be able to like, okay, this is what you need to do to improve. We talk about in retail systems, when you have you are generating users' data, you are understanding the users' behavior. You can pattern their behavior, right, and know what to sell to them. You know, so that way you can improve your own sales and also improve the user experience on your platform. So it's a win-win situation. There's no industry, there's no area, and so far there's data that is being generated from that particular field. The fact there's data that has been generated, it can always be improved. Environmentally also, right, if you look at it, and environmental concept, because a lot of people are not aware of how they are contributing to the climate change. They are not aware. A lot of people just keep living their lives like that. So the point is, like, so far there's data available and people have access to this data. Improvements can be made. And let me even use an example of my energy I used before I leave Nigeria. Right?
Okay.
So I have something that I used to track my energy usage from my solar, right? So now, normally, I don't even off my lights, some of my lights before, but immediately I started tracking it during the day like this, I just off my lights. So I used to have it for light, maybe for my solar at night or something. Right? So that consciousness, it just comes in because I'm already tracking it. I have the data in my hand, you understand? So anything that generates data, right, you can always improve it, basically.
Wow, that's amazing. Thank you for sharing this practical experience. Okay, moving on, let me ask you, because of course you have tested, or let me say you are experienced in different fields, and I can say categorically that you are a producer, and of course because of your background in animal production, I can say you are a food producer, and of course moving to the other part of data now, I can still call you a producer. Looking at your experience now, how do you think data can assist in measuring the impact of everyday actions like food wastage, transportation, and energy usage?
Okay, so thank you. Right now, one of the things that I've always maintained that Nigerians, when it comes to, let me use Nigeria for example. We don't take data seriously. You know, sometimes you just wonder like, let's say you normally use 10,000 naira light before.
Yes.
In electricity, right? And then this month, right, you use 15,000. You don't know what causes the 5,000 naira increase, the 50% increase, because you don't have any energy usage. So it's one of the things, like, you know, we need to take important, as much as in the energy sector, people need to be able to know how they are using their light, right? How they are consuming lights, how they are what they are spending their energy on. So that way people can know that, okay, let me off this light, let me switch off this one at this time, let me do this at this time, right? Because we will now have insight into how you are using your light. So people, as much as we are giving them meters, give them something they can use to track their
energy usage.
That way it benefits everyone in the long run, right? There's enough electricity, there will be enough go around if everybody is conscious of how they are using electricity, right? Another thing is, when you are looking at food wastage, all the food you are throwing away, there's something, if you're able to track it and then know how much is contributing to environmental pollution, right? Environmental pollution, right? You open your mouth, right? So if someone tells you that in Lagos, right, there's 80 million nylon bags every day, it's being produced every day, right? That is an insane amount of lion bars to be disposing every single day. And you are wondering why there's flood in Lagos, why everywhere is, you know, is polluted.
Now you
have that information, like, okay, now even if you're a business person, right, that use lions to serve your business, now you might be now start thinking about maybe paper bags, the ones that is like has like paper, right? You know, that one is can easily
decompose.
So if you have this data, NGOs or government agencies or NOIs, right, that are in charge of this, they should bring it in how the effect of, you know, what they are doing and the numbers that are behind these things, you know, and also provide incentives for companies that are in charge of these lions, right? I mean, people like Chowdeck, right? They pack their this thing with paper now. So another companies too, they use paper to pack their dishes. So it is it's important for people to know the numbers behind their actions, right? I think when they know the numbers behind those actions, and I think food wastage, transportation, energy usage, and any other this. I mean, they will be conscious about how they do these things, and that might be the beginning of change.
Thank you so much for that great insight. Okay, let us talk about awareness on sustainable living, of course, inspiring collective action. Can you tell us some of the roles that data can play in raising awareness about sustainable living and inspiring collective actions?
Okay, all right. So I'm a big fan of infographics. One of my least favorite form of visualization is table. I love infographics so much, and I think it plays a what's good. It is a very good form of passing information. The role that data is going to play, basically, data will paint the picture to you. Data will paint. That's why when you work in a company, the CEO doesn't know how much they make in a day or month or what. They don't know how the company is performing. When the data analyst analyze that data and show it to them, like, okay, on the dashboard, like, okay, this is what is happening in the company, right? That's when the management sees what's going on in the company, right? So the data paints pictures of what is going on, and that's where we can raise awareness to encourage sustainable living. Let people see the potential impact of their actions if things continue. Right, in the pictorial format, and then highlight the urgency of the issues also.
Yeah.
That way people can see, okay, if we continue like this, you can say, okay, someone tells that if sea level rises by maybe let's say 20%. I don't know, you might be telling me that, okay, if you continue like this, sea level might rise by 20%, but I don't know the consequence of sea level rising by 20% as an average person.
Yeah.
But what you can say is, okay, if sea level rise by 20%, 20% of Lagos is gone, you understand? And maybe the whole of Ireland is gone or something. That will paint in a way they can understand, in a format they can
relate with.
They can relate with. Those are things we have to apply. It's not just about having data, analyzing data or something, but also painting in a way that people can relate the impact of what they are doing.
Wow. Thank you so much for letting us know some of the roles of data in raising awareness. Okay, before we conclude this episode, looking at different parts of the world, or let me say different countries now, we know that government, different agencies, and of course, other stakeholders are trying to make policies. You understand? Let me ask you that, what do you think, do you think data can influence government policies, and what are your advice?
Okay, absolutely. As a matter of fact, I'm a firm believer that you don't make policies without looking at the data. I mean, doing the modeling and looking at the impact. Policy makers, right, they need the accurate data to make some of these policies. If you are going to you are going to, an example of policy, right? We are going to remove fuel subsidy, right? You need to be able to know the impact of, the level of impact it's going to have in your citizens, right? You have to be able to model it. Some of those. Every policy you are going to be making, right, has to be backed by data. So my advice, like, for government to be like, to invest in a lot of data systems, right, collection and analysis too. Currently, you know, in Nigeria, if I waste a food, I don't know I can't estimate the level at which I'm contributing to environmental pollution. There should be a way to collect some of this data. Collecting data on some of energy wastage, environmental wastage. A lot of countries have done it, and then done it excellently, right? And it is something that we need to copy, have a system in place that we're able to get this accurate data on how we are contributing, how each individual is contributing to these climate issues that we are having.
Yeah.
Right? So when you have this insight as a government, right, you're able to implement policies, right, like that can really improve it. For example, right, you might just say, okay, give tax breaks to maybe companies that are using paper bags as a form of delivery. You know, this is an incentive. Everything doesn't have to be bam, bam, bam. You can create an incentive for people, anybody that is using bicycle. You know, you might give them some, maybe if the others are paying 15%, they can pay 10% as tax, stuff like that, you know. And then if it's removing import duty on solar panels or any other thing that's in renewable energy, anything that can reduce the use of generators, you know. So these are some of the policies that governments can implement. And this can only come when government has accurate data on how individuals contributing to climate change. If the government knows the number of generators in the country and it knows the number of time hours the generators is switched on, it can accurately calculate the number of emissions that is happening in Lagos alone in a day. Right? And if government now wants to say, okay, let's look for ways to reduce this, let's give tax breaks to people that are using solar panels. And then you came able to notice the reduction in the use of generator. That means you're able to accurately predict, you're able to accurately understand the reduction in emission alone from generators. That's a win, you know. So, yeah. So if you need to have create a system, right, to collect this data. So those are the things that policymakers need to invest in platforms to be able to collect this data from each citizens, basically.
Wow, that's a great one. That's a great one. And of course, great recommendations from you there. Okay, Joseph, before I let you go, what are your final words?
Yeah, so we are in the era of information. If you are not informed, you will be lagging behind, basically. And data is more than just numbers, as I've said. Data is not just something you sit in your Excel sheet or database. It's a beacon, right, guiding us towards a more sustainable and enlightened future. You need to look at it that way as a touchlight that guides you. Even if data is not making sense, right, you have to follow it, you understand? Because if you want to get to the root of anything, always say follow the money, but I tell you that follow the numbers. So if you as a policymaker, as someone that is passionate about the environment, right, it's not enough to just go to the sea and remove the paper bags and clean the environment. If you clean it, if you go back there in one month, it will be filled again. Like I see a lot of NGOs passionate about environment, and then I see them cleaning waste and everything. I'm like, yeah, you clean it, it's a nice job, right? But if you go back there 2 months from now, it's filled again. You know? So you are not really following the numbers, you're not following where it's really what's really happening. If you follow it, you see where what's called, right, how you can actually have a sustainable, it's not just a sustainable solution to environmental sustainability. That would be my final words. Like, okay,
final words.
As individuals, as we are as we are trying to passionate about the environment, we should also pay attention to the data, to environmental data, and then let it be our torchlight, beacon of light, to search for sustainable answers for the environment.
Wow. Thank you so much for that, Joseph. To all our listeners, thank you so much for listening to this episode of podcast. I want to ask you that you join us again next time on another exciting edition. Thank you so much for joining us.